Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode 549. I am Cold Coffee, and John Morgan is not with me. He's off doing that general manager commentary thing that's just keeping him busy. He wanted to get on this one and try to do it, and actually was suggesting to try to do it on Sunday, since technically that's still part of this week. And you know, ultimately the goal is to keep this streak going and deliver the goods to you guys. Sometimes the goods might be better than other times, but they're still goods, as in that they are a product. Whether or not this product I'm going to deliver to you tonight is actually good is a whole other thing. But it is still the goods. And I was going to come on here and just start telling you, like, oh, hey, since it's my show, I'm going to tell you about what I'm cooking in the kitchen, because it was such a crazy long day. We started with the official weigh-ins today, and then we had to wait a little bit, and then we did the ceremony weigh-ins, and then by the time that's done, I was like, I'm just hungry. I want to get home. I want to eat something. And inside the fridge, I had thawed out some pork belly. So I was like, oh, there's so many ways you can do pork belly. So typically what I would do is I would either braise it in a liquid in a pot to try to like cook it primarily for like 30 minutes. Usually a lot of times I just put like water, soy sauce, some like this mushroom sauce, just to add a little flavor, cook it a little bit and help break down the fat a little bit, have it sort of render. And then I cut it into slices and I put it into the air fryer to crisp up the skin and just make it oh so good. So something that I was just trying to do something different, just because I'm extra like that. And also because recently, not too long ago, actually it's been fucking months now I think about it, Dr. Pepper was on sale. And, you know, even though I had like a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper, there was a Coke Zero Dr. Pepper deal, whatever, and it was like buy two, get two. And I was like, oh, well, of course I should buy two of those just so I can get the extra two, even though I didn't even need to. So I have three 12-packs of Dr. Pepper, which now that Cold Coffee is trying to do more of the no-carb, low-carb thing, a can of Dr. Pepper literally will blow out the carbs in a day. So I don't really drink a lot of sodas, but those, I had a friend that was staying over, and I was like, okay, here, I'll buy some of these Dr. Peppers. But they didn't really drink many of them, so then I got stuck with these ones. So what I decided to do today, just to try something different, is with the water that I put in with the pork belly, I added a couple cans of the Dr. Pepper, some soy sauce, and still a little bit of the mushroom sauce or the vegan oyster sauce. And I was tasting the sauce and the liquid. And I was like, oh, this is great. So I let it cook in there and starting to cook it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make the transition. I'm thinking like, oh, this is great. I'm going to talk about the cooking at the beginning of the show. And then I grabbed some tongs to take it out and transfer it onto a cutting board. And this is where it gets interesting and a bit painful. So I pull the pork belly out and I'm going to put it onto the cutting board. And as I'm scooping it out, you know, these metal tongs have a little channel that kind of runs under in the thing, where if you're not paying attention, liquid will run down into that thing. So as I'm picking it up, thinking I've cleared the liquid from the tongs, because they're tongs, they're not spoons, and start to move it over, this said super hot liquid runs down the tongs straight onto my leg, and almost immediately it blistered and broke, like the skin broke. And right now, I have a gauze pad on there. I stuck some ice on it, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? That's what happens when you're tired, and you're not paying attention, and you have this boiling Dr. Pepper liquid that apparently is hotter than lava, and it immediately burnt my leg. So I'm going to see how my leg feels. This has only been about 20 minutes ago, but it already busted open. So my fun cooking story is a little bit of pain and a little bit of whatever. But right now, the pork belly is in the air fryer cooking up, and hopefully it'll be all good. And so as I'm nursing my pained leg later on, hopefully I'll have some good grub. But that's your cooking intro for today. Be wary. If you use some tongs, watch the liquid. And I will let you know if you're interested if the Dr. Pepper, because you hear people talk about using Dr. Pepper or Coke or whatever for the acidity to help break down the muscle tendons and the tissues inside these sides of beef or whatever. I don't know if it'll do that in this time that I just put it in this boiling pot of water, but it did sort of influence some infuse some flavor. But who knows? It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad, but I'll still eat it because it's pork belly, and I don't let pork belly go to waste. So here we are. John is busy, so it's just me. I know it's one of the dreaded shows, the all-coffee show. No cream, just straight cold coffee coming at you, but I will keep it short and sweet. But let's talk a little bit about today. So I'm here. John is off in Atlantic City for CFFC Next Gen 2. Dude's been crazy busy. They had a grappling match last weekend. And I think this coming weekend he's got another CFFC fight. I think it was 4 weekends straight. So we'll get it settled out for next week. Or unfortunately for you guys, it might be another all-coffee show. But I will try to make that not happen. So he is off doing that. I was here in town for UFC 320. The rematch of Magomed Ankalaev and Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight championship. And then the co-main on that, Merab versus Corey Sandhagen. I don't know if you guys watched either of the media days or the press conference. Not a lot of heat. Not a lot of heat coming here. You know, you kind of felt like Alex and them were trying to talk a little bit something, and then Magomed's team would try to say a little something. Then you got Alex saying, oh, you're just saying what your coach is telling you to say. But all that is being said through translators. So it's all really weird to kind of follow it, and it's just like you got the fighter saying blah, 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 and then the translator's starting to talk, and then one of the fighters is starting to talk over top, and then you have their translator trying to see what they're saying, and then the other translator's trying to say it to their other guy, and it was just like you didn't get the heat, you didn't get the whatever, but I appreciate the attempt, at least for these guys, to sort of spice it up, because, you know, there's not a lot of heat on this card. There's a lot of respect. I think even with the Magomed and Alex Pereira, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Alex was saying, or either Magomed was saying that Alex was ducking him, or Alex was saying Magomed was ducking him, or whatever. I forget what it was. I don't really pay attention to a lot of that stuff. I don't really listen to a lot of the smack talk that goes on, because it just gets caught up in the noise. But there was a lot of talk that they were trying to sort of just beef this up and put some heat. But all in all, I think there's a lot of respect between these two. Even though, you know, if they do sell it up the heat, maybe it would spice it up. But if you looked around the crowd today and you saw, and in the crowd yesterday, there was not a lot of people. So I don't know why that is. Somebody, one of the other media members asked that and said, why do you think the crowd wasn't filled out? You know, and I was like, I don't know, maybe because, you know, we saw Alex lose, you know, and so maybe that super hype. But when you watch the two guys come out, you know, Magomed's getting the boos, and of course the crowd still loves Alex, but you just didn't get the big crazy fight week like I felt last time. You know, maybe it's just the timing, the end of the year. Maybe dollars are crunched a little bit. People aren't in town, you know, to see this. People didn't come in town for it. Maybe there's not a lot of people in Vegas. A lot of people are saying Vegas is having some issues right now, even though the casinos just came out and said that they're making money compared to last year. They made money, so they're happy. But when you look at the visitor count, most people are saying the visitor count's down. So, you know, I guess the casinos are still winning. You know, but people aren't taking as much money away, so the casinos are able to say that they're making revenue, but we're not getting it from the, you know, just mad mass of people. But it certainly doesn't feel like it. You know, it doesn't feel like the town's empty when you go around your, I guess, in your everyday life. And when I go down by the strip, you know, outside of what I saw in the venue, not having a lot of people there, it, you know, wasn't, you know, as crazy as you would normally think. But I think there's some other things going on. You know, there's the Aces the other day. Aces got their finals going on. Let's go, girls. Let's bring it home, ladies. That's going on tomorrow. Is that tonight? Oh, that might be tonight. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow. I think it might be tonight that they're playing. And then they're playing Sunday as well. And then it goes off to wherever the Lynx are from, Minnesota or something. I don't know. So there's other things maybe going on, but yeah, I mean, you just didn't feel that the crowd was really there, and I mean, it's certainly nothing to the fighters. You know, diehards like you guys that are listening to this, obviously you're going to appreciate, you know, a lot of the fights on this card, but it was just weird. It was just interesting, because yeah, when you looked around the crowd, and I even tried to pan the crowd a little bit when I was doing the live stream today for the Ceremony of Wings, and the crowd was better today than it was for the press conference, but still, it, you know, there was a lot of empty space in the upper parts of the MGM Grand. We were in the MGM Grand. We weren't even over at the T-Mobile Arena. So, yeah. So, I don't know. There's that, you know. But going back to the fights, listening to the guys, both guys seemed focused. For my stat picks, you know, I didn't hear or see anything between these two guys during this week to change my mind that after what we saw last time that they fought, that Magomed lost a step and that Alex had recovered, whatever. I know a lot of they were saying, you know, he wasn't 100%, you know, he was ill or he was injured. I forget what the talk was. I felt like it was a little bit of everything, that he wasn't 100% last time and now he is 100%. I think what we hear from fighters most times is that they're never 100%, you know, and you hate to hear excuses after the fact because it just kind of dumbs it down a little bit. But, you know, he's sticking with it and he says that he's 100% and that he's ready to go and that, you know, he's made improvements from that. But you would need to make some serious improvement because it was crazy. Because even though Magomed didn't get the crazy takedowns that I think a lot of people were thinking was going to happen, he looked great on his feet, which is what everybody thought Alex was going to do. And that, if that was then, I happen to think that, you know, what's Alex, who everybody knew him as already a kickboxer and, you know, this great striker, what's going to change? If he already did a decent enough job at stuffing the takedowns last time, you know, he just got to be a better striker, you know, from the last time he made more improvements, you know, and now he thinks he's going to make it a striking fight, but then now maybe we're going to end up getting the grappling fight where, you know, Magomed does get a hold of him and maybe gets him down. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I haven't seen anything from looking at the guys today that makes me want to just jump ship. I picked Alex in the last fight, and then Magomed showed me up, and then I was like, okay, next time I'm going to give the champ the shot. So I'm sticking with that. But I mean, doesn't mean that Alex can't come out there and do what he does. I mean, people love him for a reason. The guy just, man, he goes out there and he's just a monster, man. He's a beast. And if he gets those hands going and he's able to, you know, do his thing, I mean, he has all the chance in the world. But man, Magomed is a good striker. It's crazy. I was telling somebody when I'd seen him train at over at Extreme, maybe he was just downplaying his striking. He was just working on just getting some reps or whatever. But he didn't go that very hard. But I wasn't very impressed with what I saw of his striking in the training. But it just goes to show that what you see in a gym is not the full picture, you know. Because when he went out there and fought Alex, it was absolutely incredible, and his striking looked incredible. So I have to think that he's going to look even better now. He doesn't seem like the guy that's just going to be like, "Oh, I'm the champ. I don't need to keep working." You know, I'm going to assume that he's going to keep building on the momentum that he had when he went into that fight. So I will give the champ the nod in this one, but I'm looking forward to a good fight between those two. So I'd be interested to hear what you guys, who you're kind of picking in this one. Are you guys sticking with the champ? I mean, if it was based upon the crowd reaction today, it was clearly going to be a dominating fight from Alex, because the crowd just loved him, man. They were just cheering him on, and that's like that. The dude's a star, man. The dude is still a star. His star power certainly didn't fade much, you know, after losing the belt, you know, and he has the likelihood to get him one back. And then there's already people talking, are you going to go up and try to get that third belt? Are you going to try to go up and get the heavyweight belt? And he's like, let me just focus on this one. So it'd be interesting, but I think that fight's going to be great. Looking at the co-main men, Rob and Corey, you know, Corey is a guy that we've been high on for a long time. I mean, he's smart. He really studies the game. He breaks opponents down. He does a really good job. But man, Merab is Merab. But boy, did you guys see the size difference between those two? Corey is not a small dude. You know, maybe it's all just the height, you know, the height difference. But, you know, Sean was a taller guy than Merab, and we saw what Merab does. So I'm expecting Merab to do the Merab things that he does. The dude's got a gas tank like no one else. Corey doesn't tire out either, so both guys are going to have plenty of cardio. It's just a matter of if Marab's able to, you know, kind of get on him, get him down, get on his back and grind it out and see if he can't tire Corey down. But I don't envision Corey tiring down, you know. And if anything else, Corey's got those flying knees. He's got crazy little striking that when Marab tries to come in, you know, if Corey uses his range, if he uses that distance, I think he has a chance to hurt Marab, you know, or at least stun him and try to at least slow him down and maybe try to wear on that gas tank a little bit. Maybe he could throw some strikes and, you know, try to hurt those arms, try to hurt those legs. But man, Marab's just a beast, man. He's a machine. You know, he's a machine for a reason. So I did lean Merab on that one as well. But that's no offense to Corey. I mean, just who's going to pick against Merab right now? I mean, like, against anybody. You know, I think Corey's got a good chance to, you know, make it a good fight. But I still think Merab's going to be the guy that gets it done. So it's a good card. I mean, I don't know if you guys want me to go down and break down. I'll tell you some other fights that I think are pretty cool. I mean, Jiří Procházka and Khalil Roundtree. I mean, I love Khalil. I mean, we've talked about Khalil time and time again. This guy, when he goes out and gives his interviews, he puts his heart on his sleeve. He tells you how it is. I love the fact that, you know, me as a guy that's trying to go through my own weight loss journey, you know, when I look at Khalil and look how good he looks, and when I see what he used to look like and what he did, it's just inspiring. And I just like the dude, man. I just like the fact that he goes out there, he fights dudes for a living, but he also, you know, he's got a big heart, and he's, you know, free to kind of show it and talk about things. And I think that's cool, because if anybody ever, you know, you got a lot of times people say, oh man, when a guy talks about feelings and that, man, that just, they're just soft, man, they're just gay, man, that's whatever. Yeah, bro, say that to Khalil, please. Like, Khalil's a dude. He's a real dude, man. I like that guy a lot. And this is a tough fight against Jiří, and sad to say, I don't know why, because typically I don't ever pick against Khalil. I don't like to pick against him. Jiří, I did pick against him. And if this means that I set it in the universe for him to go out there and knock, you know, Jiří out in the first round, then you're welcome, Khalil. You're welcome that I did that, and I will take that for you. But, man, Yuri's just focused, man, and that size, man. He's a big boy. He's got some crazy striking. I just hope he doesn't try to get too far out there and just do some wacky shit and then get caught by a big overhand from Khalil and just get knocked the F out. And then I'll be silly because I decided to pick him. I am in the staff lead right now. I'm up by one, so every pick matters. I'm just trying to grind it out. Let me be the first four-time MMA Junkie staff pick champ. But there's a lot of time left, and I could still drop the ball and lose it. But I did pick Jiří in that one, but my heart is rooting for Khalil. As weird as that sound, but I like, you know, I like the Vegas guys, but I do like Khalil a lot. But Jiří said a lot of really good things. He's really, really focused. He got rid of the top knot. You know, he got rid of the crazy hair, and he said he was tired of, you know, it's not about appearances, and, you know, and it's this and that, and, you know, I guess that was his way of sort of admitting that he was getting caught up in the character, and now he wanted to get rid of that and just focus on the fighting again, you know. But he does pull out some crazy shit. I don't know if you guys watched the UFC BJJ 3 last night. Mikey Musumeci is an absolute beast in jiu-jitsu and grappling, and Claudia Gadelha even said she thinks he's maybe the pound for pound best grappler or jiu-jitsu guy out there. Dude started his match last night with like the Daniel what's his name, Karate Kid, Daniel Bob, I'm effing blanking right now, but he had his leg up like a crane kick, like he was going to try to hook the guy, or he was trying to put it out there and have the guy grab it. I'm just like, what is going on? But the guy's good enough to try to do it. But the only reason I say that, because Jiří's the kind of dude that I wouldn't be surprised he tries to pull out some shit that he meditated on, and it you know, it came to him in a dream, and now he's going to try to do it in a fight. This would not be a great fight to do that for him, because he has a very, very dangerous guy across from him. Another fight that's very, very exciting that I think a lot of people, this card is actually pretty stinking good, but it starts with the prelims, it starts getting a little bit less, but for the rest of the main card, y'all, it's pretty good. Josh Emmett and Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf, I was really surprised. I don't know what happened or why, but when he came up for the ceremony, Wayne said he was getting like the boo. He was getting booed. Like, I get it. Josh Emmett, people love Josh Emmett, you know, he's got the whole, the Team Alpha Male, you know, and he actually, I want to say it was, who was it that walked out with him? TJ Dillashaw, unless I'm mistaken. You know, I think I saw him, and then I was so caught up because I was doing the camera stuff, I really didn't focus on this coach because I was trying to get the shot, and I was messing with my ISO and the blah, 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 whatever. But Dillashaw was around, so, you know, I know a lot of people are digging that, but Emmett got a lot of love, but Yusuf Zalal is a dog, dude. Emmett's got crazy, crazy power. I did pick Yusuf in this because I'm riding the Yusuf train right now, but Josh Emmett has every ability and probably, I didn't look at the odds, but he's probably the favorite as well. But Yusuf, man, that kid is just impressed me. His time coming back and just what he's been able to do. I think he's energetic, and I think he's got great speed, and I think he's got a lot of talent to kind of move around and maybe wear down Josh. But if Josh doesn't wear down and you know hits him with those big shots, it could be a bad day for Yusuf. But I did lean Yusuf on that one. But regardless, this fight is guaranteed to be fun. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And then you got Joe Pyfer and Abus Magomedov. Boy, that's another couple big boys in there throwing hands at middleweight. Who did I pick on that one? I think I went Abus Magomedov on that, or did I go Pyfer? I can't actually remember now. But Joe Pyfer, he's so funny. He came out this week, and you know, somebody was talking about something. He keeps bringing up Mexico. Obviously, when he went down there, got sick or whatever, and then he, you know, said some things that he regretted, and he still sort of keeps bringing it up. You know, and I feel like maybe in another year or so, he'll stop bringing up the references to Mexico for different stuff. But that should be a fun fight. And then the rest of the card, there's some good fights on there. I think I'd be interested if you guys want to comment, let me know what fights you're looking forward to. Tibi Gautier and Tristan Vines is going to be a banger. Daniel Santos and Jusong Yu got moved to a catch weight fight of 153. I believe it was supposed to be a featherweight fight. So I didn't hear the story of what that was, if that was a short-term replacement or whatever. But I'm surprised that they left it as high up on the card as they did, since they had to make it a catch weight. Especially got Patchy Mix coming in there. So that'd be fun to see if he's able to kind of get that UFC win. Edmund Shabazian coming against Andre Muniz. That could be a fun fight. Puna Haley. Soriano against Nikolai Veretinikov. I forget how they actually say that, but that should be fun. Macy Chasson. Was rooting for Macy. And, you know, she's 4-7 May, so I love that team over there. But Macy Chasson, man, I cannot understand why it seems we have so many problems, like, with the weight thing. And I know she's only, I think maybe it's been 2 times where she actually missed, but I feel like there's been struggles multiple times, and even when times had to get changed or fights got changed to a different weight class or something, you know, like, she's talented. She's so, so talented, but she's got to get that figured out. Or they're going to let her go. And I think even after this, depending on what happens with this, the UFC, I could see them getting just enough is enough and cutting her if she doesn't win this fight. So you never know. Sometimes they cut people even after they win. We've seen that happen before. Basharat against Gutierrez. That's going to be a banger. Ramiz Brahimi and Austin Vanderford, or Mr. Van Zant, is going to come in there. That should be a fun fight. And then starting off with Veronica Hardy and Brogan Walker. A couple hotties to start the card to get it fired up. It's a good card. I don't know. What would you guys rate this card? I think it's a pretty stinking good card, especially when you look at the two fights at the top. 8 out of 10? Would you give it an 8 out of 10? I mean, I like, maybe a 9, 8.5, 8.5 maybe. Let's give it an 8.5, 8 to 8.5, maybe 8. I'd say maybe an 8. I think it's a solid card. I think it's going to have a lot of good fights on there. And I mean, and maybe this is one of those ones that, you know, surprises you from the top to bottom. I hope it's not the other way, where we sometimes see the prelims come in there and just absolutely just start a smoke show. And then it gets to decisions. But I think when we look at the main card here, there's definitely some bangers in this one. So I'm hoping that we do not have any sort of a night full of decisions and whatnot. So I'm fingers crossed. So, well, there's that card. I'm trying to think what else is going on. What else do you guys want to talk about? Well, since you're not saying anything, I could wrap it up. What do we run about? 24 minutes? I wanted to try to make it 30 minutes, because then I also wanted to check the bandage on my leg to see if it's actually what the blister looks like underneath. But I'll give it a check in a little bit. But I think it's a good card. But, you know, sometimes on these cards, when you look and see, sometimes they can be a little misleading. But when I look at it, I think it's a pretty good card. I almost forgot. Yesterday, I got to go. Was it yesterday or was it Wednesday? Yesterday. No, it was the day before. We got to see the Smashing Machine after for a little, what do you call it? Because I think that it actually opens up today. So we got to see the Smashing Machine there at Red Rock. So we did the media day. And then I had enough time to go home, drop the gear off, and then went. Then I drove straight over there because they first said that there was like, oh, there's going to be a reception at the Happy Dad Lounge in the Apex, and there's going to be beverages and snacks or beverages and food. So when most of us read that, I read that, and I immediately thought, like, frosty beverages. Alcoholic beverages, you know, when you say it's in the Happy Dad Lounge, Happy Dad's like a drink company, right? You know, so I was thinking, okay, we're gonna have some drinks, we're gonna get a little pregame, then we're gonna go watch the Smash Machine, and then there's a reception there, and then we're gonna go home, and then I'm just gonna be like, yeah, and then get ready for the next day or whatever. So as the thing wrapped up in the media day, they were like, hey guys, there's some sandwiches in the back of the room, and there's some sodas and waters and stuff. And I said, oh, but I thought there were, like, beverages and whatever. He's like, yeah, there's sodas and there's water. I was like, oh, I guess I'm the degenerate that just read beverages and immediately thought that it meant alcoholic beverages, but it did not. But and we didn't even go to the Happy Dad Lounge. We just stayed in the media room. That being said, we did that, and then we went to the Red Rock. I love the Red Rock. It's a really it's a nice casino. It's on the edge of town. You know, so if you ever come to town, I know we've talked about it before, you know, you want to get away from the strip and maybe look at places that, you know, are a little bit further away. And it's also on the way if you want to go out to the Red Rock National Conservation Area and out that way. That's the way you'd want to go. But it's beautiful. But they have the movie theater in there. There's also a bowling alley in there, which is really cool. So we go in there, checked in, and then we go into, they had popcorn and the Smashing Machine t-shirts, which I think mine made it home. I hope I didn't leave it at the lounge. I will tell you that in a second. Now I think about it, I was like, I think I lost my shirt somewhere that night. Oh, well, whatever. So the Smash Machine. A lot of people were talking very, very highly of this. And it was a good movie. But I will tell you this. And if I had to give you a tip so that if you had to, that would maybe improve it. There was a documentary made called The Smash Machine. This movie might as well, from what I was told, I have not seen the documentary, this movie was like a remake of the documentary. So some shots that you see in this were literally in the documentary. Not in the documentary, they recreated the shots that were from the documentary. You know, and the reason I knew that, because it came up after the fact. So I watched the movie, and the movie, I'd give it maybe a 7 out of 10. And the reason I say that, because if you're not an MMA fan, if you don't know who Mark Kerr is, if you don't know who Mark Coleman is, if you don't know, you know, MMA, I don't think there was enough there to engage the regular fan to be like, why do I care about this story? Why do I care about this guy? I know this is The Rock, and that's Emily Blunt, you know, so you're going to have people that watch it just for that. But when I knew after the fact that it was kind of recreation of documentary, then I think I would have given it more leeway, and maybe I would give it like an 8 or something, because then I'd say, okay, this is a recreation. I took it as it was on its own and thought that some of the shots were a little confusing and just left a little to be desired, like, that was a weird jump to that little part, whatever. But then when you find out it's kind of taken from the documentary, you're like, oh, okay. So after the movie, we go to this reception in the Rouge Room, and the reception's, as soon as you walk in, beautiful women with these drink trays with old fashions and then some non-alcoholic drink. I didn't try that one, but it sounded delicious. So we get these old fashions, and then I immediately see Mark Coleman right there, and so I go over to start talking to Mark, and Sean from the Full Send Boys was talking with him as well. So we started talking about the show, the thing. And see, since I didn't watch the documentary, there's a scene at the end of the movie. And I'm like, Mark, so at the end of the movie, when it shows you go into that room, you know, was that like real, or was that like a Hollywood? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, at the end of the movie, there's a scene where you go into this room and you're sitting there by yourself. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, Mark, there's a scene at the end of the movie where you walk in the room and you're sitting there. And he's like, well, did you watch the documentary? I was like, no, I didn't see the documentary. Oh, well, if you watch a documentary, you'd see that that's in there. And I was like, oh, okay. I did not see the documentary. I was thinking that my English had broke down at some point and he wasn't comprehending anything that I said. But he went on to go on and actually gave us a great, you know, history of the time and the stuff that he had to do and you know, and some of his thoughts about what he'd hoped that they had portrayed in the movie. But I will tell you, Ryan Bader plays Mark Coleman. And it was hard for me to not look at Ryan Bader thinking, this is Ryan Bader playing Mark Coleman, as opposed to, at least with The Rock, I felt when they tried to do some more makeup, I was like, okay, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not, I know it's The Rock, but when I look at him, I'm my brain is saying, okay, that's Mark Kerr. You know, like, that's not, you know, The Rock. But when I look at Ryan Bader playing Mark Coleman, I'm like, that's Ryan Bader playing Mark Coleman. Like, they didn't do much to his face. I'm just like, you're really, as a theater major, as a guy, I'm like, okay, I can adjust my brain and I can take these things in. But me being the MMA video guy that's been around interviewing Bader since the UFC way back in the FN day, it was hard for me to not say, that's Ryan Bader playing Mark Coleman. But Bader did good. I mean, he did well. He did well. He's probably one of the better guys that's delivered lines in a movie. One of these MMA guys that's delivered lines that actually did well. You know, like Gina Carano in The Mandalorian. I thought she did great in that stuff. I know she's been in some of the other ones, but that's the one recently that I remember thinking like, hey, I dig this. I dig Carano's character in there. But, yeah. But the movie, I think if you like MMA and if you are familiar with the you know, Coleman and Kerr and their story of these days, because it takes period in like 1997 through 2000, and it covers over this Pride Grand Prix. But I still love Emily Blunt, and she was sexy in the movie, so that was like, oh, watch it, Emily Blunt. And I love the Rock movies. I've seen Rock and Emily in a couple, they've done a few movies now, I think, together. So they had good chemistry. But this was the first one where it was like a dramatic role. I don't think there was one comedic line that The Rock said that just to be like funny, like you would see him in all of his other movies. So in that sense, it was definitely a stretch. And I know a lot of people are already saying like, oh, I'm going to put him in the Oscar talks. In terms of him doing something different, yes, it was very, very different. But that being said, will it be well received and get, you know, huge whatever? I don't know. Because I think it still boils down to the MMA, as big as it's gotten right now, still at the end of the day is a niche sort of sport. And now you're picking a story, you know, that's just from a small time frame of window. But do you get enough to want to root for these characters? And I felt that's the part that was a little bit lacking, was just the story behind that. Like, why do I care? Not me personally, but why somebody watching, like, why do I care that this person's story? Like, what's there? And I think they tried, but I think a lot of it with them copying the documentary or remaking the documentary, that you didn't get to see it. But I mean, you don't get to build that. You didn't have time for that story arc to kind of build and really enrich you. But it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. But again, if I had picked, I'd say I'd give it a 7 out of 10. You know, maybe 7.5 or something. But it was fun. It was good. But then we went to the Rouge Room, and those old fashions, we ended up closing it down. It wasn't like the bar stayed open to 2. The function stayed open to like 11:30 or something. And I had me a few old fashions and then decided to come home. And we had to get the sleep in because we had big, big day of you know, the press conference after that. But it was good. It was fun. So if it does come to your area, check it out. But if you have the ability to see the documentary, which I might go back and actually now watch the documentary afterwards, even though I've seen the movie, but I think it would maybe make the movie make more sense to you, some of the things you see in it. But still, it's kind of cool to see an MMA movie being made that's not like a joke movie, like, you know, Kevin James, I think, did a MMA movie or whatever, but it was more like comedic. This is a serious, you know, dramatic piece. So it was pretty cool, though. But there's your episode of Food Talk, Burn Talk, UFC 320 Talk, and then my quick movie review of The Smashing Machine. But I will tell you, the Rouge Room at the Red Rock is a fine establishment that has some serious talent there, should you get a chance to visit the Red Rock and get in there. I think you'll enjoy yourself. So that's that. I appreciate you guys sticking with me. I know it was short and sweet. I'm going to take this wrap off my leg here in a little bit and see how bad it is. And hopefully the pork belly I put in the air fryer is ready to... I should have probably flipped it a couple times while we've been taping, but I didn't want to stop talking to you guys, which I guess is just me talking to myself, acting like I'm talking to you, but you get it. Well, hopefully next week everything will be back to normal. I know John's gonna be busy, but we're gonna try to get him back on here and have a proper episode for you, so we don't have to have 2 weeks of coffee only, because I will not have seen a movie next week. And I would not have been a reception, so I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I hope it wasn't so bad. I hope it was bearable enough for you guys. And, again, you know, go into the channel. Let us know what fights you're looking forward to on the UFC 320. What fights you think may be flying under the radar. You know, and we can chat a little bit after it. I know there won't be a and a half show. We still need to kind of get that sorted out, whatever we're going to sort of do to sort of replace that stuff. And, nobody wants to hear me do a half show. That would not be good. But I hope you did enjoy this one, and I don't want to keep lingering on. I've wore enough of your time in your ear. But let us know what you're excited about on UFC 320. We'll be back to normal next week, hopefully. But you know, baby, the streak keeps going. We do what we got to do. So I appreciate you guys for listening. And, thanks for listening.